I know there are some people who think that Jesus kind of staged his entire life, that he's the one who set things up, that, well, it's time for this to happen because this corresponds with this verse in the Old Testament, and we're going to show that that is just absolutely impossible.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah. This is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid with A Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. We're coming to you from our headquarters here in St. Louis, Missouri, and we're so glad you've joined us. I want to ask you now, if you would, to get a piece of paper and a pencil, because at the end of the program, I'm going to be making a very, very special offer for an excellent book that we're going to make available to you that will kind of go in conjunction with the new series that we're about to begin. It's going to deal with this topic of witnessing. What is an effective way to witness to a Jewish person? As we go through this study, we're going to take a look at messianic prophecy, which has down through the years been a very, very successful way of showing the continuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament and how the Lord Jesus fulfilled just literally hundreds and hundreds of these messianic prophecies. I'm also going to show you a way in which you would be able to witness to your Jewish acquaintance using only Old Testament verses. What I've done is I'm going to show how, you know, we normally take the Romans road, which is a very good way to witness to people. But a lot of times, Jewish people don't want to even get into the New Testament. So what I've done is I've taken all of the Romans road passages that we commonly use and then gone in the Old Testament and found their Old Testament counterpart verses. So you can literally witness to a Jewish person only using Old Testament verses. Those are some of the things that we're going to be studying in this series together. So concerning this question, what is an effective way to witness to a Jewish person? Actually, there are many answers to this question, but the many techniques that are used to help Jewish people understand that Jesus is the Messiah, I personally believe that messianic prophecy has to rank near the top. We don't always have the opportunity to take a Jewish person from the Old Testament into the New Testament, back into the Old Testament, into the New Testament, because many times they don't even give us that opportunity. But when a Jewish person is open enough for someone to take them through the Old Testament prophecies and show them how they were fulfilled in the New Testament, it often has a tremendous impact on them. First of all, it helps them to see the close relationship that the Old Testament has with the New Testament. And if you were to ask a Jewish person, is there any relevancy for the New Testament for a Jewish person? Almost immediately, they would say no. They don't see any relevancy whatsoever. And the reason why is because they don't realize how Jewish the New Testament really is. They're told simply to reject the New Testament. But after they see how many Old Testament verses are fulfilled and directly quoted in the New Testament, sometimes it becomes difficult for them simply to say, I'm going to throw this thing away and totally dismiss it. So that's one of the good results of using messianic prophecy with Jewish people, because it shows them that there really is a very close relationship between the Old and New Testament. Another good thing about messianic prophecy is that it establishes a case for the authenticity of Scripture and the character of God. It's impossible for a human being to make prophecies that are found like we have in the Old Testament. Many of these prophecies were written hundreds and hundreds and even thousand years before the event actually took place. How is it possible for a human being to make a statement with so much accuracy that 1,000 years later, it's going to be fulfilled. But that's exactly what we find in the scriptures. That's what messianic prophecy shows us. So it authenticates the very word of God, and it really shows the character of God as well, that he's able to do what a human being can't do. And the reason why God is able to do that is because the Bible tells us that he knows the end from the beginning. You know, anybody can make a prediction. In fact, certain times of the year, you go to your average grocery store, and a lot of times when you check out, they have these little magazines that have all of these predictions in them. Well, when you take a look at what those predictions are, most of them never come to pass. So yeah, anyone can make a prediction. That's easy, but having them fulfilled is another story entirely. So the Word of God sets a beautiful example for us concerning the character of God, because he's able to show us that he does truly know the end from the beginning. I want to quote to you from a book that actually we're going to be offering called The Case for Jesus the Messiah, Incredible Prophecies That Prove That God Exists and Also That Proves That Jesus Is Indeed the Messiah. And in his book, The Case for Jesus the Messiah, he explains, John Ankerberg does, why God gave messianic prophecies. I'm going to quote, it says, God gave a great number of prophecies about the Messiah for at least two reasons. First, it would make identifying the Messiah obvious. That's the first point. Messianic prophecies will make identifying the Messiah obvious. When you talk to your average Jewish friend and you talk to them about Jesus being the Messiah, they will immediately say, well, no, Jesus can't be the Messiah. The question that you need to follow up with is this. Well, then how would you recognize the Messiah? What are you actually looking for? And in reality, most of them really do not know what it is they're looking for. They might say, well, he's going to be a person of peace. He will bring peace to this world. And that's about all that they really know concerning the Messiah. But what we want to let them know is that the Word of God has multiple verses that give specific pictures to us concerning who the Messiah would be, how he would live, where he would be born, how he would die, and on and on and on. And the beautiful thing is that all of these find absolute fulfillment in the person of the Lord Jesus. Now I want to go back and begin quoting John Ankerberg again. He's talking about why God gave messianic prophecies. And the first point was is that it would make identifying the Messiah obvious. And second, he goes on to say, it would make an imposter's task impossible. In other words, there were other people who claimed to be the Messiah. There were false Christs even during the days of the Lord Jesus. There are false Christs today. There are people literally today who claim to be the Messiah. And when you take a look at their life and you take a look at what the Messiah is supposed to do based upon messianic prophecy, they don't come even close. They're not even in the ballpark. So it would make an imposter's task impossible. So if you think about it, these two reasons make a tremendous amount of sense. Let me give you another illustration. Suppose you were going to meet someone that you've never met in person. You have no idea what they look like. So what would you need to do? Well, it would be really necessary for each of you to give some sort of description of yourself to one another, so that when you get there, you don't have to walk up to everybody and say, are you so-and-so? You begin to narrow things down by looking for people who have those particular things that are identifying marks that the person gave to you concerning themselves. Well, that's exactly what messianic prophecy does. If you didn't have those kinds of pictures of the person that you're looking to meet, you wouldn't be able to identify your party without walking up to everybody and saying, are you so-and-so? So really, this is what God has done for us through messianic prophecy. It helps us to know what to look for. So as we have the opportunity to take our Jewish friend through messianic prophecies, what that does is it clarifies for them what it is they should be looking for. So that's why this is one thing that is very, very important. Many of you have heard of Josh McDowell. He's written many, many good, fine books. One of the books that he has written is called More Than a Carpenter. And in this book, he likens messianic prophecy to an address. And here's what he says, quote, God wrote an address in history to single out his son, the Messiah, the Savior of mankind, from anyone who has ever lived in history, past or present or the future. Certainly, God was writing an address in history that only the Messiah could fulfill. In other words, you know what an address is. When you take and you write a letter to somebody, you don't just take the letter and just throw it in the mailbox, and you don't just put their name on it. You don't just put their street on it. You put the number on it, and then you put the state in which they live. You put the city in which they live in that particular state, and now we have to use a zip code. So it really narrows things down. Well, messianic prophecy, as you begin taking a look at them, and you begin gathering in some of the facts that talks about the events that are going to be taking place in the life of the Messiah. As you begin looking at those events and circumstances that are clearly portrayed for us in the Word of God, and you begin to narrow down and say, well, does anybody kind of fit those various prophecies that are in the Scriptures? You have to come away with only one conclusion. Yes, it's the Lord Jesus. He's the one who fulfills those prophecies. So as we look at some of these amazing prophecies, my hope is that you will find that this is going to be very, very helpful and useful as you deal with unsaved people, and particularly Jewish people. Now, by the way, I should say that you could use messianic prophecy with anybody. I have found it to be a very, very effective tool. So use it with your Jewish friends, use it with your Gentile friends as well. Well, let's go ahead and take a look at a messianic prophecy. And as I said, there are dozens of them in there. We're not going to be able to go through all of them, but we're going to go through some of the very, very important messianic prophecies. The first one we'll take a look at is that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. Now, this one right away does away with the ability of Jesus trying to stage his life so that they would fulfill these messianic prophecies. Nobody can stage their birth. Well, the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And it's really interesting that as you read the text and you discover the circumstances that revolve around his birth, his parents were not even in Bethlehem. They were up in Nazareth. But the scriptures clearly teach that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And you know that there was a tax that was put out, which forced the people to go to their hometown, and in this case for Mary and Joseph, they had to take this long trip all the way back down to Bethlehem while she was pregnant with the Lord Jesus. And it was while they were in Bethlehem paying those taxes, that's why they went there, that the Lord Jesus was born. But let me read to you the actual prophecy that is given to us in the book of Micah, one of the minor prophets, chapter 5, and verse 2, where it says, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago." Actually, it says from eternity. This is a very, very incredible prophecy. Bethlehem Ephratah. The prophecy is very, very specific. It identifies Bethlehem as Ephratah, which is the older name for Bethlehem. We read about that in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 19. Also in the book of Ruth, the first chapter and in the second verse, and then also in the fourth chapter of Ruth and verse 11. And what this does, it distinguishes this Bethlehem from other towns that are also named Bethlehem, such as the one that we read about in Joshua chapter 19 and verse 5, which is really in the territory of Zebulun, which was a different Bethlehem. So this term Ephratah also identifies Bethlehem as the town in which David was born. We read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 12. So what this does, it helps us to establish the connection between the Messiah and also King David's throne. Well, this is a prophecy that was given around 700 years before the Messiah Jesus was born. To find the fulfillment for this, we need to go into the New Testament, into the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 that says, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born." I want you to notice this. This is very, very important. He gathers together the chief priests and the scribes. Now, these are the Jewish people. And he says, "Oh, where's the Messiah supposed to be born?" Do you know what they said? Listen to what it says. Verse 5, "And they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet.'" Here are these unsaved priests and scribes quoting the messianic prophecy stating where the Messiah was to be born. And here's what it says, verse 6, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So when Herod asks, where's the Messiah supposed to be born, these scribes and these Jewish leaders, these chief priests, they knew that the Holy Scriptures predicted that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Do you think they ever even went down there to investigate to see whether this individual who was being called a king was the Messiah? No, these magi came from a long way, however, to seek out the truth, to seek out the person of the Messiah so they could go and worship him. So what do we have here? Well, the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, and we see that he was born in Bethlehem, and we see the fulfillment of that in Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 through 6. Well, let's look at another messianic prophecy, and this one is found in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Well, let me just say that this particular messianic prophecy has been debated for centuries, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and the discussion primarily revolves around the word virgin. Does it mean young woman, or does it mean virgin? You take a look at some translations in the Bible, and they have young woman. Some translations have the word virgin. Well, here, first of all, let me just give you two things to consider when thinking about this important word, virgin or young woman. First of all, what kind of sign, which it said very clearly in Isaiah 7:14, "The Lord therefore himself will give you a sign." But what kind of sign would it be for a young woman to have a child? You can go to any hospital here in St. Louis at any given day, and there are young women giving birth to children every single day, all the time. So that certainly wouldn't be any kind of sign just simply for a young woman to give birth to a child. But it would be a major sign if a virgin gave birth to a child. That would be amazing. Secondly, and here's another important thing to consider, when the translators of the Septuagint, now what is the Septuagint? The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, and this was translated by 70 Jewish scholars. So here are 70 Jewish scholars taking the Old Testament and translating it into the Greek language, which was the common language of that day, when they came to Isaiah 7:14, they rendered the Hebrew word Alma, which is the Hebrew word, which we translate virgin, others translate it young woman, but when they came to this Hebrew word Alma, they translated this word Alma into the Greek text by the Greek word Parthenos. And the meaning of the word Parthenos cannot be denied. It means virgin. So they understood what this prophecy was talking about there in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. The fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah 7 and verse 14 is found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And I want to read this to you. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with a child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins.'" Now listen to this. "Now all of this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, that it might be fulfilled, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.'" And the text goes on to tell us that Joseph did immediately what he was told to do. He took her as his bride, kept her a virgin until the Lord Jesus was born. So this is very, very important, this messianic prophecy concerning Jesus being born of a virgin. You can't stage that either. Only God could take this kind of miracle and make it truly come to pass. So these are just two messianic prophecies. The fact that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, and the fact that the Messiah was to be born of a virgin. So it's important for us to know some of these verses. I would suggest that you take some of these verses and write them down in the flyleaf of your Bible. Write down Micah 5:2. Write down Isaiah 7:14, and then write down where the fulfillments are. Just remember, Matthew chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 1 gives you the fulfillment of those two messianic prophecies. Well, I had asked you at the beginning of the program, if you would, to grab a piece of paper and a pencil, because I have a very excellent book that I want to make available to you. It's called The Case for Jesus the Messiah, Incredible Prophecies That Prove That God Exists. John Ankerberg, a very well-known author, what he does is he gives the rabbinical interpretations as to what the rabbis feel that these verses are talking about, and then he comes back and gives the true biblical interpretation of what these verses mean. It's a good book. It's an excellent book to give to an unsaved individual. The book is over 150 pages. It's a very, very good book to read yourself to find out what it is these verses are saying concerning Jesus being the Messiah. And then it's an excellent tool to give to your unsaved Jewish friend. Now, what we're asking you to do is to write to us at the MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. And when you write, if you could send in a donation of $12 to help us to cover the cost of the book, we would certainly appreciate that. You could also log on to our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. Write us and ask for the book, The Case for Jesus the Messiah. Again, our address is MMC, Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, and the zip code is 63006. Well, I hope that this first study in messianic prophecy has been helpful to you. It is a very effective way to witness, and I hope that you will use it. Well, until next time, may God bless you.
The Messianic Voice with Marty Zide is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. Inquire about our evangelistic magazine, featuring testimonies of Jewish believers. We offer home Bible studies, Jewish evangelism seminars, and free tracts that you may pass along to your Jewish friends. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We would love to hear from you and know that you're partnering with us in this very important ministry. Again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. That's MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.